It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Wilson going to the air. Chased out by Daquan Jones. Wilson looking end zone, wide open, touchdown! First NFL touchdown for Zach Wilson! And it goes to Corey Davis. Crowder trying to get him out of space. Slips a tackle, and there he goes! Crowder! It's a foot race, and Crowder is in there! A 69-yard touchdown.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know who that is?
The Q-inator.
Oh my gosh!
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it is time for the Jets-Patriots pregame report with the owner, the operator, the lead reporter, the whole shebang over at JetsInsider.com. And above all that, a very big deal, Mr. Chris Nimbley. Chris, what's going on, buddy?
Not too much. Bye week over. Back ready to attack the rest of the season, I guess.
Sure, but Tyler Kroft isn't, unfortunately. He's out this week. Also, C.J. Mosley looks like he's going to be gone. That's a big loss, especially if the Jets are going to try and stop some of those screen passes that the Patriots are undoubtedly going to use against them. And Tevin Coleman is questionable, which means he'll probably play. I assume he will predominantly be used on kickoffs where he's been relatively useful. I don't think that he's going to get a lot of carries, especially if he's listed as questionable. Would you say that all of that, Chris, is a fair summary of the injury report?
Yeah, that probably is. We could see a little bit, depending on how questionable he is, a little bit of Tevin Coleman short yardage situations, I guess. They have been doing that. But otherwise, yeah, that sounds about right. Obviously, not having Tyler Kroft's not the greatest thing. More Ryan Griffin, and then C.J. Mosley's the big one, though, of course, because that he's been playing so great and just the engine of that defense. So it might get some help back this week, but losing C.J. Mosley for the week would be pretty rough.
Chris, you think we're going to see more Elijah Moore and Denzel Mims today? I know we talk about this pretty much every show, but I know that Salah and Ulbrich and LaFleur have all said that they've pored over the tape. They've looked at what they did right. They've looked at what they did wrong. And I would have to assume that one of the things that they would have seen on tape is Denzel Mims making plays and Elijah Moore getting open.
Yeah, you have to think that they, like, we talked about this during the week. You throw on that tape and you start looking, and there's only so much you can see. And they're talking about how, they saw what worked and what didn't work. Well, you go throw on that tape. The only thing that you could see that could work, that could have been working if execution was there, was really those two, for the most part. Corey Davis holding on to balls, some stuff like that. But that's the big change and difference that they can do is try to play those two more and do what they can to get Zach Wilson to see and identify them when they're open and hit them when they're open.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
The point spread as we speak right now, Chris, is 7 points. So if you're betting this game on Sunday morning when this podcast is released, 7 points the Patriots are giving to the Jets. What do you think?
As just a better, there's no reason to give up 7 points in this game. Patriots, Jets, I know, LOL Jets and all that. This Patriots team is not good. 7 points is way too much. So if I'm forced to take a side here, give me those points.
Over under 42.5.
I'm going under on this. This is not going to be a super high-powered explosive match, I don't think.
Total Jets points over under 17.5.
Yeah, fans want more, but if I got a bet on it, I'm 14 to 17 sounds like a nice little sweet spot there, so go under.
Over under New England Patriots 24.5.
Yeah, that's 7. I'm gonna go under on it. Not much, but it's a little too much. This offense doesn't scare me.
First half, Jets plus 3.5.
Go ahead, take it. I mean, I know that maybe this is, you know, if you're going by the last couple of weeks, you stay away because this offense has been slow starting. But also, just 3.5 points in the first half. I feel like I should take that on like any college team, any arena league teams, any team. Just 3.5 points and a half. Yeah, give that to me.
First half total points 21 over under.
That's interesting. Expecting to do Patriots do some heavy lifting in there that first half. No, I'll go under on the first half total there.
First half total points, New York Jets, 7.5 over under.
0.5 is go under on that one.
First half total points, New England Patriots over under, 13.5.
Yeah, go under on that one. I don't have them scoring two touchdowns that early.
Odds for touchdowns, Brandon Bolden plus 375.
Nah, that's a nice number, but they've gone back, despite the fumbles and the mistakes, they've gone back to Damian Harris, so I will be shying away from Brandon Bolden plays.
Kendrick Bourne plus 300.
No, I've enough of Kendrick Bourne.
Mac Jones plus 425.
Yeah, I don't see Mac Jones. Something's going to have to have gone really wrong for him to be running one in.
Gunnar Olszewski plus 400.
I wish a Gunner would, but no.
Jacob Johnson plus 1600.
No, I mean, come on, the name Jacob Johnson. No, can't score touchdowns that name.
JJ Taylor plus 750.
See, now that's a much better name for scoring touchdowns, but no.
New England Patriots defense and special teams plus 600.
Oh, this is tempting. If this was like any other year with a Belichick defense, I'd be pouncing on that. But this defense is not very good. Their secondary especially. It's not the trademark that we've seen of their defense over the last couple of years. But I'm not going to talk you out of it if you want to go ahead and throw something on plus 600 on a Zach Wilson mistake.
Trevon Wesco plus 3,000.
Oh, boy. No.
Jacoby Myers plus 140.
That's not enough. That's not enough juice. Plus 140 is not enough for me to do it. But, yeah, there's a pretty good chance that he scores a touchdown. That's the one receiver I'd be looking at.
Damian Harris minus 125.
Yeah, I see all the way into the minus, but go ahead and lay that minus 25 because, yeah, I like that.
Ramondre Stevenson plus 200.
Yeah, see, this is why I shied away from Bolden. Even he's getting back in the reps, but I'll just stick with the Damian Harris for now.
Nelson Aguilar plus 200.
No, I didn't understand this signing at the time, and I still don't.
Jonnu Smith plus 260.
Plus 260, huh? No, but I probably should say yes.
Here's one I kind of like. Hunter Henry plus 225. He's got three touchdowns.
Yeah, this is the thing about, you know, both Jonnu and Hunter Henry. It's one of those situations where it's like, well, I would guess one of them is very likely to catch one. I just don't know which one. But yeah, I wouldn't try to talk you out of going with the Hunter Henry route there.
Ryan Griffin plus 750.
That should be more. That should be, plus 750 is not enough. I'm sick of these guys right now, man. I'm begging to have Tyler Croft back. Like he's like a Hall of Famer in comparison.
Braxton Berrios plus 600.
It's a shame that I'm gonna say now.
Jeff Smith, the greatest gunner in the NFL, plus 850.
No, again, that needs to be higher too. Jeff Smith, we need to be in the thousands to even consider it.
Tyler Croft is plus 750, which is a waste of time because, as we said, he's not going to play. Tevin Coleman is questionable, and he's at plus 1,200.
No, definitely no.
Zach Wilson plus 850.
Nah, I'm going to shy away from him running one in.
Denzel Mims plus 1800.
You know, throw a little something on it. I do genuinely believe that they are going to give him some more. I think it has to have clicked for them that, like, all right, we keep saying he's not ready and, you know, whatever, trying to paint it like he doesn't understand the playbook and look what everyone else is doing and this offense stinks, so throw him out there. So at plus 1800, throw a little something on it, not a full 100, go ahead, throw 25, 50, whatever you can afford. Go ahead and have fun with that.
Keelan Cole plus 1800.
No, I'll stay away from Keelan Cole. I say this every week. He's the type of guy that will get you the touchdown when you're not expecting it, but this Jets offense isn't humming at that type of rate to expect that.
Michael Carter plus 175.
I'm gonna say yes on the Michael Carter. That's the one of the running backs. I think that you're seeing he is going to be, you know, pretty much take over that lead back role now. So if there's a running back that's going to get one, I believe it'll be Michael Carter.
Jamison Crowder plus 220.
No, I'll stay away from Jamison.
Corey Davis plus 200.
Garbage time touchdown sounds really nice, but plus 200, I don't think that's enough juice for me to do that there.
Here's one I kind of like, considering how often he's been getting open and the fact that we've talked about how the coaching staff has gone through the film and seen where they've gone wrong and where they've gone right. You have to imagine, as we said earlier, that he's going to get more opportunities. Elijah Moore plus 450.
Plus 450, that's enough for me to throw something on it. I again, this is going to be something that I think they're going to try to target and try to do. And he's been getting open. This Patriots secondary ain't great, so I think that they'll be able to do that. That's enough for me to do it.
Ty Johnson plus 350.
Now again, they're kind of succeeding to Michael Carter, so I think he's going to get the most touches, most opportunities. Ty Johnson definitely could, but I'll stick with Michael Carter.
Total passing attempts, Mac Jones over under 31.5.
No, let's go under there. They're not going to need to throw the ball that much. They do like their short passing game still, but I don't think they'll need to throw the ball that much.
Total passing attempts, Zach Wilson over under 32.5.
Yeah, let's go over on there thinking that the Jets probably will need to pass that much.
Mac Jones, total passing yards, over under 244.5.
Under on that, 3-4 yards at a time.
Zach Wilson, total passing yards, over under 223.5.
Oh, my God, that's 220. Like, imagine waking up as an NFL quarterback, getting ready to play a game, and the line on your throws is 220. Oh, man, that's insulting. That's embarrassing. I mean, if I say under, that's just a huge insult to the poor kid. So I got to go on over just for that.
Mac Jones, total completions, over under 22.5.
Let's go over on that, just barely over. I know under the attempts, but he doesn't throw a lot of incompletions because so many short passes.
Total completion, Zach Wilson, over under 19.5.
You would hope that this is going over. I'm not ready to bet on that going over. I need this Jets offense to show and prove to me before I'll go do that. The attempts is one thing. You know, they're going to need to throw the ball. I need Zach Wilson, the Jets, to prove this to me. But, yeah, if they can't get over that, the second half of the season might be a long one.
Mac Jones, total passing touchdowns, over under 1.5.
I'll go under here. I think they run one in. He gets one. They run probably two in.
Zach Wilson, total passing touchdowns, over under 1.5.
Yeah, I've got to go under on this one as well.
Corey Davis, total receptions, over under 3.5.
Yeah, give that to me. Give me the over on that. Again, I could get them all in the fourth quarter. I'll be comfortable rolling those day.
Jacoby Myers, total receptions, over under 5.5.
5.5 is going to get 6, but I still like it. They don't have a lot else to spread the ball around. He's their one receiver who can actually go out there and get it. I'll go ahead and give it to him.
Total reception yards, Corey Davis over under 52.5.
Yeah, give it to me. Give it to me over on that one.
Total reception yards, Jacoby Myers over under 57.5.
Yeah, I don't like going with the yards for the Jacoby Myers, but yeah, I think he can get that. That's not a lot of yards.
Damian Harris, total rushing yards, over under 65.5.
Yeah, bring it up. Give it to me on that. Give me the over. He can get it.
Now to close out the show, we'll get our picks for the week from our friend Walter Cherepinski over at walterfootball.com. Walter, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks, Scott. Going to start with the Jets as usual. They're +7 at the Patriots this week. I'm not going to bet this game. This line was +6 at the Jets in week 2. The sportsbooks are taking a ton of money on the Patriots, and they're basically begging people to bet the Patriots. I'm not going to do that. I think the Patriots may not bring their A-plus effort to this game. They're coming off an emotional overtime loss against the Cowboys, and now they have to play a team that they clobbered in week 2. I just don't think they're going to have the incentive to try their hardest in this game. I still think Belichick is going to confuse Zach Wilson into some turnovers. So I would take the Patriots if I had to, but I'm not going to bet this game. I think there are better opportunities on the slate. So let's get to those. I like the Bengals +6 at the Ravens. So the Ravens are getting a ton of hype for some of the recent wins. Lamar Jackson is getting MVP talk, and rightfully so. He's been great. But I'm old enough to remember that 2 weeks ago, the Ravens were down 22-3 against the Colts on Monday night. A few weeks before that, they almost lost to the Lions. So I don't think the Ravens deserve all the hype just yet. And the Bengals have kept all their games close. They haven't lost by more than 3 this year. And I think Joe Burrow matches up well against the Ravens defense. Joe Burrow is second in quarterback rating against the blitz, and the Ravens blitz more than any other team in the NFL. So I like this matchup here for Cincinnati. Also like the Redskins +8.5 at the Packers. The Packers have a ton of injuries. Jaire Alexander is going to be out. Za'Darius Smith's out. Preston Smith probably going to be out. Their center is going to be out. They have some other injuries as well. And they have to play on Thursday night against the Cardinals. So they may rest some other guys too. And I really don't see them focusing against the Redskins, who the Redskins hung around last week against the Chiefs. They were winning at halftime. So it seems like their defense is finally starting to come on. And with the Packers missing a couple of offensive linemen, the Redskins may get to Aaron Rodgers and keep this game close. Going on to the late afternoon slate, I like the Eagles +3 at the Raiders. The Raiders also getting a ton of hype for their win against the Broncos last week after John Gruden got fired. But the Raiders have been overrated all year. I think they're 4-2, but some of their wins aren't very impressive. They beat the Dolphins in week 3 in overtime, which looked good at the time. But we know that we know by now that the Dolphins aren't very good. A couple weeks ago, the Raiders lost to the Bears at home, so they're a very misleading 4-2. I like how the Eagles match up against the Raiders. The Raiders' offensive line is terrible, so the Eagles should be able to dominate in the trenches, and Dallas Goedert's going to have a field day against the Raider linebacking corps, so I think the Eagles will win this game. Also like the Bears +12.5 at the Buccaneers. Tampa has a ton of injuries as well. They're going to be missing Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, 3 of their top 4 cornerbacks, Lavonte David, and probably Jason Pierre-Paul. They also play the Saints next week, so they may be focused for that game. And the Bears, they've been competitive lately. Last week, they only lost by 10 against the Packers. 2 weeks ago, they beat the Raiders on the road. So the Bears should be able to hang around, and I like how their receivers match up against Tampa's injury-ravaged secondary. Finally, I like Seattle +4.5 at home on Monday night against the Saints. The Saints also a very misleading record. They're 3-2, but some of their wins have been fluky. I know they clobbered the Packers in week 1, but the Packers weren't trying very hard. They beat the Redskins by 11 in week 5, but the 7 points came on a Hail Mary right before halftime, so that was a close game. And if you take away those 7 points, they only beat the Redskins by 4, and yet they're 4.5-point favorite against Seattle. I think this line's way too high. I actually made this line Seattle -1, so this is way inflated. I like how Seattle played last week against the Steelers. They almost won in Pittsburgh. It went to overtime. If they had won that game, this line would not be 4.5. It would be 3, maybe less. So those are the WalterFootball.com week 7 picks. Back to you, Scott.
Thanks, Walter. Make sure you check out everything they're doing at walterfootball.com. A lot of draft content, plenty of gambling and fantasy. It's all there right now, and it's constantly being updated. walterfootball.com. And check out everything that we're doing over at playlikeajet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. Lots of film breakdowns. There are going to be plenty of them after the game from Luke Grant. Kayla Pace has her commentaries, Pace's playbook. So make sure that you check those out. And if you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes for the podcast yet, if you could go ahead and do that for us, really appreciate it. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.